catch this guy, we're going to need a black hat hacker named Hathaway. He's a genius coder serving 15 years.
Hello, and welcome to episode 49 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. First off, say hello to my co-hosts, Christy and Angie.
Hey!
Hi!
And it's a special week because we have a guest with us, Devendra.
Hey, folks. Howdy.
Yeah, you guys might know Devendra from Flash Film and from writing about technology all over the internet, and we brought him here today to talk about Black Hat. So sorry, Devendra.
Black Hat. Every time we say Black Hat, it's just like, Black Hat.
Yeah. All right, well, Black Hat is going to be one of our topics. That's our main movie that we're talking about this week. Remember, we switched to the new format. So first we're going to start with the Golden Globes, then move into Black Hat. Then we have to reveal the winner of last week's caption contest, winner, I guess, quote, whatever. And then this week we have a brand new one for you guys to have some fun with. So let's kick things off by talking about the Golden Globes, and Angie's going to take that one.
So the Golden Globes, it's the second biggest ceremony of the year in terms of how glitzy and glamorous it is, but, you know, it's also something that people don't take very seriously, except maybe as like a kind of a way to see where the Oscars might fall. So this year the big winners were Boyhood and Grand Budapest Hotel. They won the two Best Picture categories. And I was a little bit surprised by the Grand Budapest one because I thought Birdman was going to win that category, but the Boyhood one is pretty much what I expected. So what do you guys think? What does this say about their prospects for the rest of the
year? I feel like Boyhood's going to be the favorite going into it. That seems to be what everyone's talking about. And, like, even, you know, my mom doesn't know crazy stuff about movies like we do, but even she's like, I mean, isn't it a no-brainer that Boyhood's gonna win? And I'm like, is that really your perception of all this? Okay. And I think that is kind of, you know, what the most people are thinking out there.
Yeah, I'll be curious, though, like I said, like, a lot of the public hasn't seen Boyhood yet, so I'll be curious as more people do see it, how that perception shifts. Because it's winning all these awards and all these critics love it, but I mean, is it really this thing that's going to sweep the Academy? I mean, one, the Academy loves movies about themselves, so I feel like Birdman has an advantage there.
Boyhood hasn't really made much money at all. I mean, it's the first time I've actually looked up the box office for Boyhood, and so far it's got it's $43 million worldwide. I guess it's out of theaters now. It's done.
It's already on VOD. I mean, Boyhood was a movie that I think everyone kind of assumed was a lock for a nomination for the Oscar, but everyone was like, is this a little bit too weird? I don't know that the Golden Globes tells us that much about it because it's a completely different group of voters. But, you know, good for Boyhood.
And also, let's just say it. Like, the Golden Globes is fucking weird. They nominated Schwarzenegger for Junior, and this year they gave it
Corbenzene Wallace got her nomination. There's a whole bunch of things like that I could take.
Flat out, you could have nominated the... I was going to say something really hateful before about a child, and I'm not. I'm going to stop myself. But here's the thing. Corbenzene Wallace is not good at Annie. It's not her fault. There's a million things wrong with that movie. But, like, what the hell? Like, that just shows the fact that they split the categories where they're like, oh, this is a best actress in a drama.
And then they just don't have enough names to fill the spots. They're like, alright, like, Into the Woods is, like, the it thing. Let's just give it to everyone in there. Like, Emily Blunt is fine, but, like, she doesn't deserve an award for it. And neither does Meryl Streep, for that matter.
In what fucking world are we calling Big Eyes a comedy that Amy Adams even won for that?
It's a comedy or musical. Or musical.
Big Eyes did have one song where Lana Del Rey sings. She's not in the movie, but fuck it. It had music in it. I guess that counts. Like this.
So have you guys talked about how crazy the Golden Globes are, just like as an idea, as a concept, right? Because the Academy Awards is one thing, right? You have a whole bunch of folks. The Golden Globes is like a party for rich people, basically.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. And that's what makes it so fun to watch, especially because all those people tend to be drunk. But it's also what kind of makes it a bullshit award. It's fun, but... It doesn't mean anything. I will say, though, that, you know, despite me just saying, like, oh, it doesn't mean anything, I was really disappointed that Selma really isn't doing well. And it's not just that the Globes are doing horribly with all the guilds, too.
Yeah, why are all, like, I mean, we talked about
this. Well, wasn't it, it was just the issue of them not getting the screener out, right?
Is that across the board? That's embarrassing.
I saw a couple headlines this morning that referenced that exact same thing. So I'm assuming that's kind of like a rampant thing with certain movies in this award season.
That was Golden Globes' excuse, though, because in theory they would have seen it. I mean, it was nominated for and won Best Song, which, great to that. That song is actually played. And, like, after you've seen that movie, that song is just, it is the stinging balm that your heart needs. It's very good. But, like, as good as that movie is, for it to only walk away with Best Song, when, like, I just, the mind reels.
Another one I was really upset about, though, which not to the scale that Selma should be taken, but How to Train Your Dragon 2 be, like, all my favorite animated movies of the year. Like, how did How to Train... I loved How to Train Your Dragon 2, but how did that movie beat Big Hero 6, Box Trolls, and the Lego Movie?
It's probably the only one they saw. Like, the only one the people running saw. Yeah.
I think that's probably the best guess.
That's crazy.
I think that overall the TV categories were interesting, more interesting than the film categories this year. We won't get into it too much, but, you know, they were
It was kind of batshit that Fargo was getting so much love and True Detective was nowhere. And Fargo, I've said this before, but it's Coen Brothers fan fiction. It's fun, it's fine, but it's nothing transformative. It's no True Detective. Come on.
I was really happy to see Jane the Virgin and Transparent get a lot of attention. The Golden Globes actually is better than, say, the Emmys about nominating new stuff. Like, I think last year Brooklyn Nine-Nine took home the award.
Which was confusing.
Confusing?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is not that good. That was really
It's amazing. Quiet, Christy. Sorry. I will shout you out on this.
Let's wrap this up before it just becomes a shouting match between those two about Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Basically, Brooklyn like, the Golden Globes is like everybody's crazy aunt, where once in a while she gets something right, and you're like, well played, that made sense. But most of the time, you're just like, shh, you're embarrassing everyone, quiet down.
You know what?
All right, now like on to something that gets absolutely nothing right. The new movie of the weekend, Black Hat. So I'm going to describe this one using my handy-dandy IMDb synopsis, which is kind of bad, actually. A furloughed convict and his American and Chinese partners hunt a high-level cybercrime network from Chicago to Los Angeles to Hong Kong to Jakarta.
Yeah, that's not a good description, but I just want you to come up with a better one.
It is accurate.
I know. It's very accurate, but you could totally tell that nobody who has ever like told a story in their life wrote that.
There's no dynamic.
That's like someone who just like bullet pointed the plot of the movie.
Although that's trying to boil down a Michael Mann's story will probably sound like that, you know, because his stories are so nebulous and like a man dealing with his inner demons and
I mean, I'll buy that one sometimes, but in this case, it's just a case of. Yeah, no, that's about all I could figure out for the movie, too. It just feels like whoever wrote the synopsis also didn't understand the movie.
Well, right, that's probably also worth pointing out that the movie stars Chris Hemsworth as a black hat hacker, which is like...
Named Hathaway. Super... You have to say the whole thing.
Black hat hacker named Hathaway. And he is taken out of prison to help the government with this mission to, like, stop this crazy hacker guy who's, like, melting shit down and, like, ruining the world and, like, markets and all that stuff, I guess. Tin.
Soy.
Tin's a big deal. And dogs. Spoilers, guys. Dogs. He saves dogs in the movie.
Village dogs.
I don't know. I just thought that awesome.
I want to point out real quickly, amongst the four of us, what is your background on Michael Mann movies? What do you think of Michael Mann? For me personally, I've seen about half of his stuff, and I'm just kind of, it's not for me.
I'm probably, like, right in line with you.
Tough crowd. I know, Angie. Yeah.
I actually haven't seen any of his films, which I know is surprising, but then I looked at his IMDb page and I realized that the reason I've never seen any of his films is because I've actively avoided them because I'll admit this is unfair, but for whatever reason, all the movies that he's ever made just like didn't interest me, so I would just not watch them.
Because they're all about
dudes. And
then
I saw this movie, and it was pretty much everything that I thought, like everything that I feared a Michael Mann movie was, like all the reasons that I've never seen one, this movie was in.
Sure. Tough crowd, guys. I will say I kind of worship at the feet of Michael Mann. Like, I love him and what he does, but he has a particular shtick, right? He makes movies, I like to call them, like, romantic dramas for dudes, like, for guys who like shootouts and explosions. Like, his movies kind of go introspective. It's usually about a guy who's the best at what he does, right? Best in the world. Sort of like Aaron Sorkin-y. And, you know, he doesn't take shit from anybody, and then this is, like, his last mission or something, some sort of redemption. And we see that story play time and time again with Thief and Heat and even Manhunter a little. But those are great films. Those are great films about something that are actually exploring interesting themes. This movie is about nothing. This movie is about a guy who's a hacker, and they pull him out of jail. And they sort of like, they give him a chance to, like, you know, get rid of his jail sentence. But even... that doesn't even become a thing in the movie.
No.
Really. It just that kind of goes
There's
away.
There's really no arc to this character at all. He starts as who he is, and he ends the exact same way. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate, because they probably could have used the relationship in the movie to maybe, you know, just, like, do a little something with that. But, I mean, that's kind of, like, no chemistry, as flat as they come kind of thing.
Well, there's absolutely is wildly miscast. Like, I enjoy Chris Hemsworth, but this movie makes no sense that he is in it. They put him in this American accent that he cannot, for the life of him, figure out. Which
well,
is
he does every American accent, right? Like, every single one.
It's a potpourri, if you will, of America, where, like, you know, I was, like, joking after the screening that he was, like, this close to just being like, hey, forget about it. Like, we were all over the place to the point where so much of the movie sounds like ADR, and is clearly ADR because so much of the dialogue happens off screen. Like, two characters will be talking, and we'll be focusing on the character who's not talking because they needed to re-record, and that happens with him and his leading lady. Both of them are struggling so hard with this tech-heavy lingo script that makes no sense.
It's not even that tech-heavy.
The sound in this movie is pretty atrocious. It's like, it's just like the sound designer just kind of like fucked up. I mean, there's so many times
the
where
theater,
the
too.
What was it? Because there's so many times where the dialogue like got so freaking low I couldn't hear anything, and then all of a sudden it'd be blasting.
It could have been the theater. It just felt unbalanced. But go ahead, Angie.
While we're talking about the conversations, the dialogue in this is for shit.
Sure.
Like, it's, you know, it's him saying, like, there's a part where he's talking about, like, being in jail, and he's like, I'm doing the time. The time isn't doing me. And, like, even the person he's talking to is like, what does that mean?
She actually said that, which made me
she
so
does.
Happy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's like, just so many, like, throwaway moments in this movie, too. It's like, I think I said this, was I saying this to you, Angie, or Chris? I don't even remember, but, like, after we walk out, remember, like, that one guy in the beginning that he had to track down for answers? It's like that kind of scenario just plays itself out, like, over and over and over and over again. So you kind of, like, forget the beginning steps of the mission that got him to the grand finale after all that.
Right, because none of the beginning stuff didn't matter.
Finale, calling it a grand finale is shenanigans, because it's so anticlimactic.
Yeah. It really is.
But we can talk about the ending a little bit later when we get into
that. That is true.
The best action set piece does happen like in the middle of the movie, which is kind of weird. I don't know.
Also, they also just cavalierly bring up 9/11, but they like try to backpedal on it by going like, don't just bring up 9/11. I was like, yeah, don't just bring up 9/11. What are you doing? Because like the idea is that if someone can hack stuff on this level where they can, like the first thing that happens in the movie is they crash a power plant. That's scary. Mm-hmm. And they set that up and you're like, oh, that is upsetting. But then
that was like one of my favorite parts of the movie was how they did that. I mean, like the animation in the beginning wasn't that great, but the whole idea of how they used it to be like, look at this really big power plant. Then we're gonna like zoom into like microcomputer size and like watch this virus just infect this whole system and then destroy this big thing. Like a teeny little like little light comes on and you can crumble and kill tons of people. Yeah. Like that part to me was effective. And I think that's what they should have been trying to achieve throughout the entire movie so that his mission actually like served a purpose.
Michael Mann. Yeah.
I just couldn't figure out at any point what anyone was trying to achieve. I was like, what is the story you're trying to tell? What are we supposed to be getting from this? Like, what is, like, on a thematic level, what are we supposed to, what's the takeaway here?
Question.
On a narrative level, like, what is the plot? Yes, Christine.
Aside from dry humping Chris Hemsworth in the weirdest sex scene I've seen so far in 2015.
They didn't take off their clothes. Yeah.
They didn't.
Talking about the sex scene or the awkward reunion? I don't know which sex scene we're talking about.
In the hotel like thing.
I thought they were actually like on a veranda and I was like, are they gonna hump on a veranda? But then they're totally clothed.
Garage.
No, it's like by the pool where the like sun chairs.
Yeah, on a rooftop pool or something.
Real classy, whatever your girl dreams of. But they're fully clothed. It's Chris Hemsworth. He's a beautiful man, and yet it is not. And she's a beautiful girl, but it is not a compelling sex scene at all. And like, I lost my train of thought. I don't know. I got so distracted with how disappointing that was. Because like,
so
if nothing else.
Yeah.
If nothing else, could you not just let me watch Chris Hemsworth be sexy? But no, they put him in all these weird blousy tops that reminded me of, like, Snitch, when they kept trying to be like, no, don't pay attention to how enormous The Rock is compared to everybody else.
You
like,
can't really have the best of both worlds in this movie. That's the problem, is, like, they won't let us enjoy sexy Chris Hemsworth, and then, on the other hand, he just can't pass as a hacker. Like, if they wanted to do that, if they wanted, like, a hacker type, not that, that it's necessarily a type, but someone that, like, people could believe could do that, mm-hmm. and then also someone that people could believe could fight, they needed, like, you know, like, a scrappy, like, Sam Rockwell, like, that kind of, like,
disease. You need someone like something? Yeah.
Total nerd-ass something, but he could kick ass at the same time.
It almost seems like the character itself is very, like, it's very confused, right? They don't know what they want the character to be, because at one point, like, he's doing tech genius stuff, at one point he's fighting people. I think there's 80% fighting people, right, in this movie, rather than actually doing something on a computer.
I would say there's 80% awkward hacking that is just not interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
It's just like a competition of seeing who can, like, pound on the computer keys harder.
That was my exciting hacking. This is what exciting hacking looks like, everybody. Like,
can I tell you something about the casting? I read in an interview where Chris Hemsworth was talking, like, the interview was like, what's something crazy you had to do for a role? And then he's like, oh, for Black Hat, I had to learn how to type.
He talked about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's method. Totally method.
And I watched for that, and we only see him type for like 2 seconds, so. Yeah.
I also want to point out that I think this is one of the ugliest movies I've seen. One of the most poorly shot movies I've seen in a very long time. The action in this was just like all over the place. This might as well have been a found footage movie, the way it was shot.
It looked like it's shot with a cell phone.
It was so freaking shaky. There were points where I had to, like, put my head down, like, especially when we were running down, like, back alley type things. And just, like, the shots were just really ugly. And they served no purpose. They were just, like, they weren't framed to, like, draw your attention at something that meant anything, at least.
They were trying to do, like, shaky cam, like Point Break, like, you know, very handheld doing this. But it's weird.
It didn't work at
all. It'll go from, like, shaky cam version of the shot to, like, a steady version of the shot and back to the shaky cam. And that was kind of weird and jarring. I'll debate you on ugliness, though, because I do think Michael Mann, one thing he's very good at doing is night scenes. Like, I love the way he paints night scenes, and he's a big proponent of digital photography and, like, that sort of thing. You can only get those with digital cameras, and it looks weird. It looks awkward. They're artifacts, but I know that it's more than film could get. The way the exposures work.
But there's way to work that with that would have looked beautiful, and instead it just looked dingy. It looked like a movie made in the 80s, and like I had taken my VHS copy and put it into like a
Does anyone want to touch on any spoilers before we have to wrap up the section?
There's always spoilers. Do you guys like announce it or just like, hey, spoilers now?
Let's go into it, because I really feel like. Go ahead and try to ruin this movie any more than it does for itself.
Oh, actually, I do want to talk about the ending. No. I want to talk about it a lot. So it ends with Chris Hemsworth and this other villain who turns out to be like a big fat nobody. Like, he has nothing to do with anyone.
He's a dude. He's a dude behind a computer.
Irish guy for no apparent reason.
Right. They agree to meet in this... I don't even know what it is. It's like
it's a festival.
Or something.
Yeah, it's some sort of festival. Yeah.
They're in Jakarta. They agree to meet at a festival. Hundreds of people are there, if not thousands. And it's just like, first of all, seriously, you picked a place. Like, you know that you're going to go like shoot out with this guy, and you chose to endanger the lives of, like, hundreds and thousands of people.
Let me go where there's lots of bystanders, because I'm the movie's hero.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, since it's in Jakarta, all the people are Asian, and nobody seems to notice that there's like this 6'2" white man running around waving a gun. Like, he's like literally stabbing and beating people, and nobody notices. And I actually thought that was incredibly offensive, because it's very dehumanizing. It's just like they act like these Asian people are just like water flowing around.
Well, there's literally
not like actual people. That
there's one shot where he's actually shoving them to the side, and he's like, "Get out of the way."
His like climactic conversation with the villain. He's also like, while he's walking towards the villain, he's like, "Come on, extras, do your job.
Move it, shorties." Yeah, like,
it's also deeply unsatisfying, because once you get to the villain, I was just like, "Well, let's see, like, you know, this villain. I mean, we spent the whole movie chasing him. Let's learn about him." And it's like a nothing.
That's a big problem with the movie that kind of ruins the whole experience and makes it so unsatisfying at the end, is that you never learn who the villain is. You never learn like what he really wants after all of this. Like, he really just want money and
He wants money. He wants skin.
I guess they don't put up like an interesting case for that at all. So when he finally takes him down, it's just like, all right, he killed the bad guy. It's like, go home.
And I know not all of you are totally caught up on the show yet, but, like, it occurs to me that, like, Black Hat has been interesting, introducing through television all these ideas of how technology can make our world go crazy.
Do you mean Black Mirror?
Black Mirror.
Yes.
Thank you.
I got really confused for a second.
Yeah. So Black Mirror does all these things where it shows like technology and all the ways that it can twist our world around, and it does it in these interesting things. And then Black Hat sets up all these possibilities and picks the least interesting one. Like, when the big reveal is just that this guy wants to make money via tin and killing village dogs, what the hell am I supposed to care?
Yeah, it's a weird, like, so it's a couple things about this movie, right? You guys were saying before it's kind of hard to follow and kind of hard to figure out what this movie is about. I actually have the opposite problem, right? It's so simple. Like, it's very simple what this movie is about. Guy comes out of jail. Okay, you're free if you catch this dude. This dude can hack shit. Okay, that's the movie. But there is no, you were mentioning, Angie, there is no, like, there's no greater thematic resonance. There's no greater point to any of this. And it's weird how the movie is structured, too, because we start with a nuclear plant blowing up. But the end of the movie is about, I think, some dams kind of being destroyed at some point to affect tin stock. If you flip those around, because nuclear explosions are terrifying inherently, you know, that's a better conclusion than villages being flooded. But,
it's a better conclusion than...
But village dogs.
Village dogs. Village and village dogs. Kids
even
and village
even village dogs.
He said village people, and then he went to village dogs, which I was
he
like,
said kids. He said kids.
He said kids, village people, village dogs.
Oh, man, Chris.
I just want to know, like, who wrote that, who read that, who said that's
who
a good
cut that movie. And went, no, that's what we're keeping.
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to be some on-camera dialogue we're going to keep in this movie.
So we should wrap this up. Personally, I think that on no level does this movie work. To me, there was like nothing in it of worth for me. It's incredibly boring and just overall just
it's really long.
No.
It is. Super it's long. It's well over 2 hours long.
Yeah. So what did you guys think? Final thoughts?
I can't think of a reason to watch this movie.
It's awful, and I love Michael Mann. I worship Michael Mann, and this is probably my least favorite Michael Mann movie ever.
I was thinking maybe the only reason to see it would be to look at Chris Hemsworth, but it's almost like just sad watching him try in this. So
and
his pants are poorly tailored. Sorry, Tyler.
You put him in such ill-fitting clothes, you're like, well, come on. What are we doing here? It's like Parker did that last January or the January before. Where they're like, here's Jason Statham. We're going to put him in a white linen suit because we hate everybody. It's not hard or complicated. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'd say no.
All right. So clearly Black Hat is a big fat no. So before we have to wrap up the
black
episode,
mark at the beginning of our year.
Nope.
But let's lighten Gene things up with a fun caption contest. Christy, this is all you.
Okay, so this week we're going to have a caption for this image here from Black Hat, which features Chris Hemsworth and his lovely leading lady. So take a look at this photo and then tweet at us, at Popcorn Prosecco, and if we think you gave us the best caption, we'll include it on next week's show. And speaking of that exciting prize, here's that last week's photo from Taken 3 featuring Liam Neeson and a panda for some reason. And the winner of last week's caption contest is Matt Donato, or at Donato Bomb, who chose the caption, "Tonight on To Catch a Predator." Thank you for that.
It's very, very appropriate.
Please submit for your caption contest next week, and if you win, we'll announce your name and your Twitter handle.
All right, on that note, that is a wrap on episode 49 of Popcorn and Prosecco. If you like what you see, catch us all over the place. We are on YouTube. We are also on iTunes, where we would love for you to rate, comment, all that good stuff. And then we are on our own website, PopcornProsecco.com. We have Facebook as well, so go like us there. You can talk to us on Twitter at Popcorn and Prosecco. And then all of us are all over the internet as well. Christy, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm at Christy Puchko on Twitter, and you can find my career highlights at DecadentCriminals.com.
Angie, you're up.
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for SlashFilm.com.
And our wonderful guest, Devendra.
Sure, you guys can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/Devendra. I podcast at SlashFilm, and I write about tech at Engadget.com, and I'll be writing something about Black Hat soon. So, yeah, look out for that.
And you can catch me on Twitter at PNemroff, and I write for Collider.com. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next week.
The moment you connect, you lose control.